Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 402. Science Faction, I call BS.
I almost didn't come in today because I remembered 1 week ago.
When you lost.
3 out of 4 questions correct.
Yeah, but the other person got perfect.
Yeah, four.
Perfect.
He got 0 out of 4.
Yeah, perfect. He got perfect. He got perfect. I don't understand why you're arguing with a perfect score.
No, and I like how he is a scientist who failed to produce, and your hatred of me
produced a perfect
is,
score.
Is your hatred of me at seeing me succeed is not as great as your desire to see bad scientists be punished.
I can't tell you if I hate to see you succeed because I never have. So, like, I would love to tell you whether I love or hate it. I am unaware.
I think you know how you'd feel if I won. I think you know it'd be a bad day.
And speaking of the person who's not having a bad day, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. And with me, as always, is the bad day king himself, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how you doing?
I'm going to choose to believe that you said the bad boy king.
Okay.
In which case, yeah, our fans out there, so imagine me lighting a cigarette indoors in the studio. Can you add a sound effect of me lighting a cigarette, Bobby?
No, I really help. Nobody pitches. Everybody, nobody thinks of when you keep referring to yourself as the bad boy comedian. Nobody thinks of you like that. They just think of you as the guy who repeatedly watches the Will Smith Martin Lawrence vehicle of the mid '90s.
See, I thought you were going to go like you're somebody who idolizes Andrew Dice Clay way too much. His character has not aged well. Oh, hey, I'm the bad boy of science. Oh, hey, come and pussy.
And speaking of the bad boy of science himself, we have none other than Dr. Nick. Dr. Nick, how you doing?
Ah, fantastic. Really feeling good about this one.
That's actually probably an apt description. He's the bad boy of science.
Yeah, the bad Viking of science. He'll watch your stars and steal your girl.
Mr. Steal Your Girl, they call him in the lab.
Let's move right on to I Call BS.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
I Call BS, the game where I read 4 science news articles, some of which are real and some of which are BS, standing for bad science. They could all be true, all be false, or any combination of there in between. Are you guys ready to play?
Could you please go through all of the secret rules? Like, could you go through the secret menu so that
the
our
regular
fans know?
Rules?
They're really stacked in your favor.
Yes,
I don't really see what
the
problem is.
No, this is unverified things. You're saying words, but there's no truth in them.
As Damian has mentioned, one of the rules that go in his favor is that the tie goes to the scientist. But in exchange, Damian gets to answer first. So he has
that
a
is
shot.
Not a true.
So those
exchange?
Are both true.
Oh,
that's
will,
both
I
true.
Will contest
in exchange,
Damian, we can rewind. Do you want to see? You win first and the tie went to the side.
An exchange implies that there is consent and both of us win in this exchange.
Yes. Well, I would love it for you to win.
This is me getting hit in one testicle, realizing you missed both of them, and going back and hitting them both.
And other than that, there are pretty standard quiz show rules. No Happy Days references. You cannot request the answers or to cheat ahead of time.
And somebody can shoot the moon, I believe you call it.
Yes. There is shooting the moon where you get all of the answers wrong, which is as hard as getting them all right. And
you've also taken points away for asking for copies of the rules.
Asking to cheat. Yes, of course. Attempting to cheat can indeed be interpreted as a minus point rule. And, of course, there are other minus point rules that we have talked about ad nauseum, and there's no reason to bring up now, but will undoubtedly make their appearance at different shows throughout the time period.
I look forward now. Whenever Bobby creates a new rule on the spot, his face lights up. And I really, if we could capture that for the fans.
I mean, they've all been written down for a long time. But anyway, let's get right on. Article number one. A new type of solar panel works by generating most of its power at night. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science. Just how the freeways in the morning going to work are really important. Are packed.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to drive on the freeways.
Right.
The best time, sometimes, you know, not everybody, but, you know, sometimes the best time to put out your solar panels is at night when nobody's going, when there aren't all those other solar panels out.
It's like going to the bank at 11 a.m., right? Yeah. You don't want the rush. You don't want the traffic. You take the early lunch break and you go settle your fucking business.
There's not. And plus, let's remember that the moon is reflecting solar light. So.
Right. Yeah. So why don't we steal the moon's light?
Hamburglar, I got a job for you.
All right, and Dr. Nick.
Well, you know, at least one part of this is bad because, you know, you're calling it a solar panel and suggesting it creates energy at night. And I wish I could say that scientists were great at naming things, so clearly that's not the case, but I know scientists, and unfortunately...
That's true.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like what we would do. So I think I am inclined to go with science on this one. I think somebody did make a panel that can generate energy at night. Mm-hmm. And I hope they come up with a better name than the night solar panel.
Or, Dr. Nick, maybe it is a solar panel. We just haven't thought about it the right way. All right, article number two.
Bobby, I swear to God.
I already answered. Literally just answered. I commented on an answer he already gave.
Would you allow him to change his answer, though, if he'd gone the wrong way?
Yes, if he wanted to.
Would you allow me to change my answer?
Of course, so that's cheating. All right, article number two. New research suggests that living without a sense of smell, a condition that affects around 5% of people in the U.S., significantly affects everything in a person's life, from personal safety to depression and the breakdown of personal relationships. Damien, is this science or bad science?
I'm going to say this is bad science. Let's take the most common example. If you're a lady and you're in a heterosexual monogamous relationship, if you can't smell, your greatest weapon that your other person has of Dutch ovening you, farting around you,
why even be with a woman? Like,
well, all you have to do is just play it up, like, oh, it's so bad. Just look for that that smug look on his face, like where he's like thinks he pulled one over on you, like he's pranking you, and they're just like, Daniel, that is so bad.
No, you feel the warm air on your leg.
How many relationships, honestly, because the woman is just like, after all these years, it's not like my husband smells bad.
Yes.
I no longer look at him in the same light. He's not the sexy guy. And before I could overlook the smell, but now I can't.
Yeah.
I'm now looking at the sexy coworker.
I think there's actually a box on the divorce form. It's like infidelity, lack of marriage love, smell.
That's how most, like the plumbers with whose asses, whose pants around their ass, highest divorce rate in all of the professions.
All right, and Dr. Nick.
I think I'm going a slightly different direction on this. I think I'm going science and more focusing on the spiteful part of relationships. Where, you know, you walk in the room, oh, do you smell those cookies? They're great. And I'm like, screw you.
Yeah.
My mom made it better.
Right.
I'll eat them. No, I'll eat them. Don't throw them out.
All right, article number three. The U.S. has officially declared a public health emergency in regards to the coronavirus, with CDC officials estimating the U.S. death toll for coronavirus in 2020 will be approximately 75,000. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. I read that article, and that number is the exact number the CDC predicts for Mountain Dew overdose deaths.
People went
too extreme during gaming.
Okay. This is mainly an Appalachia thing, though.
That's the thing. It used to be just an Appalachia thing. It used to just be a West Virginia thing. But with the gaming community, there's people playing Fortnite, chugging Mountain Dew, and having EMTs.
A lot of people, it's not even like a choice thing. It's like they get into a car accident and their doctor prescribes them some Code Red and then they can't afford it anymore and then they switch to straight Dew.
A lot of times we'll get Baja Blast from China and they'll put little bits of fentanyl in it just to increase the high you get from a regular Baja Blast.
I know a lot of people who have died from Baja Blast. Yeah, absolutely. All right, and Dr. Nick.
Gonna go with bad science. Hey, I know you like screwing around with numbers.
I do.
That's like way too specific, and
his wife
seems
doesn't like it.
And I think it's just way too high because I know, you know, the coronavirus isn't great. It's worse than the flu, but it's not like so much worse than the flu that I would expect tens of thousands of people to be dying if it made its way here and propagated. So,
yeah.
So it seems exaggerated to me.
Yes. Also, I need to take my dog numbers to the vet. All right. Article number four. Unknown to many people who are sensitive to poison oak and poison ivy, the same chemical irritant, urushiol, is present in mangoes, pistachios, and cashews. Damien, is this science or bad science?
Now, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to guess anecdotally, I'm going to say this is bad science.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said on this podcast before, I use poison ivy for natural male enhancement.
How?
Just rub it all over it. It gets all swollen and you get...
Oh! I mean, isn't that painful?
Bobby, do you want a big dick or not? Like, so there's a price you need to pay. Yeah, I mean,
just imagine a lady's being like, is that a rash? Or are you happy to see
it? Yeah, I mean, also,
it's unhealthy amount of swelling.
But the only person who's seeing this, some kind of sexual partner, cannot do anything because your penis is inflamed and literally has a substance on it that will make your own genitals itch.
This is after I have cleaned the genitals off and it's still... Okay.
Does this go by the rule that if you can think of it, somebody's into it?
No!
Bobby's doubting the internet. We're going to prove him wrong. Secondly, it'll hurt, but I mean, I could play hurt coach. Okay. Put me in. And thirdly, yeah, you know, there is the concerned spouse, but that's not who you're going for when you do this maneuver.
Okay.
You're going for the hot doctor, the hot ER nurse.
Okay.
And so you're showing up.
You show up. You have staged this incident. Now, what do you tell? Do you tell them, like, what's the explanation? Like,
well, how many times have you been to this specific hospital for this? Because I think there's a different explanation. Obviously, the third time, it's a little harder to write off.
Wait, my wife's vagina had poison oak growing in. Like, what is
again?
This is even more concerning because, all right, fine, use poison oak and that sort of thing. But, you know, the question was pertaining to a variety of fruits and nuts. And it's like, have you experimented with all those? And you know which ones give you the most swelling.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Moving on. Yeah, you're right. This was a question. I have fucked all of the fruits and vegetables. I don't remember.
Yes.
But all of the other produce that Bobby has mentioned, I have inserted my penis in. And let me just say, I did not receive the natural male enhancement benefits of the poison oak or ivy.
You know, actually, Damien's story is becoming more and more realistic because
what? That was not the way it was intended when I said it.
One of the ways people get poison oak a lot is they know they're allergic, so they don't go out and romp through poison oak. But their dogs, which are not sensitive to the chemical,
they do. Well, I thought
you were
going with the sex thing because
well, kind of. The dogs run around in the poison oak, and then you pet the dogs, and that's how you get poison oak on your hand.
I also know a friend who was not susceptible to poison oak because it doesn't affect everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
But it did affect his girlfriend.
Oh, okay. So he got this is similar. If the dog is running around, maybe that's how Damien's penis is getting all inflamed.
Oh, I see. We worked in the bestiality finally. God, I thought this episode we wouldn't get to it, and finally here we are.
Yeah, it's like Waldo. You got to find it in every episode.
Well, I'm glad.
I think we had a Catherine the Great joke earlier.
Yes. Wow, Bobby, I've been 0-2 for bestiality, and you're 2-2.
Yeah. Step up your game, bro.
Now that you broke the seal.
Sorry, Nick.
I fucked my dog.
Sorry, Dr. Nick. What did you say?
For what?
The science or bad science?
Oh, getting back to that's what we're playing. Yes. I see. All right.
Animal fucking or not animal fucking?
Well, now this is awkward because I was going to say, speaking from personal experience, but I really didn't want to go there now that the conversation is headed in that direction. However, I am going to go with science because I happen to know that mangoes do have that effect.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you susceptible to the
very
mango? Wow.
Yeah.
To mangoes.
I do not get along with that. Yeah, mangoes. Wow. Well, you know, you cut out the flesh and the flesh
the skin has it.
The skin has it. Uh-huh. And it turns out, you know, so many times there's a little flesh on there and you get all up in there and try to get that last little bit off and then you have a big rash around your mouth and that's not an easy thing to explain.
That's not fair. He had
definitely
a competitive
mangoes.
Advantage on this question.
I swear, it was just fucking a mango. All right, let's go back and see how you guys did. Follow along at home and see how you did. Article number one. A new type of solar panel works by generating most of its power at night. Both of you guys thought this one was science, and this one is science, and it's a very interesting design. So these are basically the reverse of a traditional solar cell. A traditional solar cell, a photon is coming in, it's hitting the cell and basically stimulating an electron to move around in a positive direction.
And this one shoots photons. They're going out.
Yes, actually.
Oh my God.
Kind of.
He was right, actually.
Kind of.
Dear God.
That's another point for Damien.
So these use what are called thermoradiative cells that generate power by radiating heat outside of itself. So this is a thermal generator. And these are things that we've wanted to use before for like excess heat bleed off. So you have a motor that's producing a bunch of heat. You can put these on the outside and in that heat transition from hot to cool, it generates electricity. So the way it does it is by basically radiating infrared into space. So we take this panel, it heats up during the day, hence the solar part, it's getting the energy that way. And then at nighttime when it's cold, one of the ways we've talked about certain types of AC units and ways to get rid of heat is to literally point it off into space and radiate that infrared heat off into space. In this case, they take this panel, they point it into space, usually at night, though they do have these that work during the day, like Dr. Nick was talking about with his telescopes before, they're much less efficient, hence why they work better at night. You have to block the sun, that's why. And they shoot this infrared radiation off into space, and in doing so, create a negative charge in the panel, which can then be captured. And these can function at about 25% of your average photovoltaic cell panel, which is really cool, because it means that you could have all of these laying out there and continue to produce electricity at night when the solar photovoltaics go to bed.
It's like the night shift guy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And yes, you'll need more of them to do it. But you also, unlike a solar panel, you don't need to point it directly at the sun. All you need to do is literally point it directly into space. So it's much easier. You get much more efficiency in that sense. So more of the panels will be operating at near 100% efficiency when they're doing so. Basically, it's a really interesting idea of how to generate power by shooting out radiation instead of absorbing it in.
Don't all solar panels point towards space?
Yes, true.
So, I mean, wouldn't it be very little
some
turning?
Some care about a specific part.
You specifically want to point away from the sun, though, because these can still work during the day as long as they aren't pointing anywhere near the sun. So as long as they're pointing to a dark or cooler portion of the sky, they can still work. So you would want them pointed in the exact opposite direction of your standard photovoltaics.
Question.
Yes.
Is it impossible to aim something at the sun at night?
I mean, you can.
I just said during the day.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. They can still produce electricity during the day if they're pointed away. Yes.
Gotcha.
On a personal note, I find this very interesting because we fly balloon-borne telescopes, and some of those we fly during the day and the night, and batteries are heavy.
Yes.
So if we could generate power at night, that would be a big plus.
Wow, balloon-borne, huh?
Balloon-borne telescopes.
Yeah, how big?
The size of a small bus is what ours is, about 5,000 to 6,000 pounds.
How the fuck do you lift 5,000 pounds? I'm speaking as somebody who used to do aerial photography with balloons. So it took me a 10-foot radius weather balloon to lift a 2.5-pound rig.
It's a big balloon.
That's a fucking giant, but what?
I'm picturing. Step up your game, Bobby.
Wow!
Whenever I hear of a balloon, I picture a dude wearing a top hat, perhaps, a red jacket, and like, airplanes and helicopters are passing fad. The balloon will be the wave of the future.
It's a more civilized era.
And how do we get the balloon into the air because it is heavy, Mr. Timothy? With 1920 strongmen lifting it.
All right, article number 2. New research suggests living without a sense of smell, a condition that affects around 5% of people, significantly affects everything in a person's life from personal safety to depression and the breakdown of personal relationships. Damien thinks this is false. Dr. Nick thinks this is true. And this one is science. Loss or distortion of smell can come from a lot of different things. Diseases can cause it. You can have head trauma that can cause it. You can damage either the actual smell organ or the part of the brain that interprets those smells. And some diseases, like Alzheimer's, commonly have loss of smell as one of the symptoms.
We talked last week about a telescope that if it was aimed, a regular telescope, that it was aimed at the sun.
Yes.
And you sat in it, it would burn your eyes out. Is there some sort of way, like a Futurama way, to smell the sun? But if it was, it would
like
burn
a Futurama. Yes,
it would burn your nose out. Like it would burn your olfactory senses out.
Yeah, I'm sure that sounds realistic.
I mean, you know, kind of like tangenting to cocaine, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
The sun is made of cocaine. That's what I learned today.
Yeah, it's photos. Yeah. Anyway.
A study was done on some of these people because, again, I didn't realize this. It makes up to 5% of the U.S. population. It's actually fairly significant.
How are you in this room? You smell things? Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, I'm not great, but I can. Yeah. Damien.
Silent over the corner here.
I'm normal. I smell things. All of you smell like people. Yeah. That's because that's what people smell like.
Damien's got a little bit of an advantage in the smell game.
I have a big nose, but I also have a deviated septum, which means that like it's not great for breathing out of, which probably not great for smelling out of.
Oh, you're lying. Damien is actually clinically deaf. He's smelling your words right now. That's how he's able to communicate.
They call me the Basset Hound.
Yeah. But I was surprised it was that much. I mean, think about it. What if you found out 5% of Americans were blind? You'd be like, no fucking way. Like that one out of every 20, no way. But 5% can't smell? That's a big deal. And if you think about it, if you would have asked me, you know, which of your senses would you like to, if you have to give up one, I would have thought smell real quickly. And I have since changed that. I'm going to taste because here's why.
Ooh.
Turns out people without smell have a real, real bad life. So,
well, what about people without taste?
Not as bad. So, all right. Because smell affects taste. So if you don't have smell, you can still taste. It's a myth that you couldn't taste, but you don't have the same range of taste and you don't have smell, which turns out is really bad. So this study focused on these people who are unable to smell. And it turns out that their lives are really shitty. A lot of them have said they like confided that they're like, I would much rather be blind because you can still have regular relationships with people. So some of the stuff that they found out was that they would have a lot of emotional impact from the not being able to smell and a lot of isolation. It ruined a lot of their everyday relationships and had impact on their physical health. So think about this. One thing, you don't know whether or not you have BO. Now, that sounds funny like a joke. But that's actually a really serious problem for these people who cannot gauge whether or not they are in a proper situation to go to work or have a business meeting or go to a big family event. Imagine how self-conscious you would be if you had zero idea if you smelled like shit at any given time.
Well, if you smelled like shit, that's different because I feel like that's more of a wiping issue and I feel like you don't need smell.
Maybe you stepped on poo and you had no idea.
Okay, fine. Stepped on poo, whatever. And on those very isolated situations, but the BO one, I feel like that's just one conversation somebody has to have with you in high school when people are insensitive, and then you're forever shamed into putting on
deodorant. No, but you don't know. You don't know when
you put on enough, you know?
You don't know if you put on enough. Maybe you forgot. You don't know if you're sweating.
I'm really in, you know, obviously with blind, right, they have helper dogs to help them get around. So could you have a helper dog that if you showed up and it looked at you a certain way, it'd be like, oh, man.
You could.
Dude.
They should get helper dogs. That's a great idea, Dr.
Train them to smell BO. I'm like,
See, I'm probably being insensitive to these people's condition, but I am somebody who sweats a fuck ton.
Yes.
Agreed, Dr. Rick. Agreed. I'm a very insensitive person.
But you wouldn't know whether or not that sweating is horribly smelling or not.
But what I do know is that as somebody who can smell, as far as I know, I can smell, I put on deodorant.
Yes.
And that lasts me because I know which deodorants work. But that lasts me.
How would you know at work?
Okay, fine. Whatever. But I don't get specialty. I don't get like prescription deodorants. I just get, okay. But your average person doesn't sweat like me.
Yeah, it's just they can't tell when they are smelling bad.
Dr. Nick, is there something you want to say?
They couldn't tell if they had halitosis. They couldn't tell if they had bad breath. They feel really insensitive about making food because they can no longer taste properly. So they don't know if they're handing people food. That's
Forget
horrible.
About picking the wine.
Yeah. Okay. Think about this. A common problem is food poisoning because they're unable to tell when they're eating spoiled food. How crazy is that if you were just eating spoiled food all the time?
Oh, man, yeah, you couldn't get the milk out of the fridge and smell it?
They're unable to tell when there's smoke in their house or gas leaks. Like, it's actually rather dangerous because you don't realize that smell tips you off to a lot of dangers.
But on the plus side, they don't really see what the big deal is about eating ass. So...
Way to find that silver lining.
It's a brown lining.
That guy's killing it on Tinder right now. So
even being a parent, you don't know when your toddler has shit their diaper. There are things you do not think about because you are a privileged person of smell who does not realize all the things we use smell for that if we didn't have, life would be incredibly difficult. Not to mention, and here's one that they looked at, smell is the strongest sense associated with memory. And in people without smells, they tend to make less memories, less substantial memories, less happy and significant memories. So think right now to birthdays, Christmases, your first kiss, whatever it is. Those memories are almost all associated in some way or form with the smell that was going on at the time. If you don't make those smells and you don't encode them, you don't necessarily preserve those memories. So you have people who are almost experiencing the same world as the rest of us, but not interpreting it the same, and then not having the same retrospective analysis of it.
Bobby, do you think that you've met my mom?
Yes.
You growing up,
sure.
And whatnot. Do you think it might have been beneficial to turn off my olfactory senses growing up
so that you wouldn't have memories of her?
So that I could remember far less of her parenting style?
Yes, but then you would be even worse than I call BS because you would remember all the science that you learned at the time.
So you'd have to cheat way less.
Yeah,
it would make it easier for you to do your job.
I would have to cheat more to try and get you in the game, indeed.
Cheat more, you son of a bitch.
Okay, question number 3. The U.S. has officially declared a public health emergency in regards to the coronavirus, with the CDC officials estimating that the U.S. death toll for coronavirus in 2020 will be approximately 75,000. Both of you guys thought this one was bad science, and this one is bad science. They did declare a public health emergency, but it in no way represents some kind of large predicted death toll. And this was the kind of crazy hysteria you saw online when the CDC came out and said this. They were like, okay, we are officially declaring this a public health emergency. And you had people coming out saying, look, they agree, we're all going to die. No. What they're saying is there's a possibility of a lot of problems from human-to-human transmission. As a matter of fact, it's unlikely we're going to have a significant death toll in the U.S. Right now, world death tolls are at 200, right, with thousands infected, and those are pretty much all in China. Right now, we have a few infections in the U.S. It is incredibly unlikely to cause high death tolls. In fact, we would be surprised if we saw death tolls in the triple digits in the United States from the coronavirus outbreak. It could happen. It takes one mutation, one thing, and it can be possible. It is unlikely with this particular outbreak. I bring this up, one, because people are freaking out and they shouldn't freak out. But number two, which is also really, really important, you know what does kill 75,000 people a year in the United States?
Herpes.
The flu. Okay, and as we are into flu season right now, any one of you can walk into your local drugstore and get a shot anywhere from free to about like $20 that will prevent that flu. And you might think, well, I've gotten the flu before. I can survive. If you are a vector, you have some form of responsibility, especially if you're a voluntary vector, you have some form of responsibility to the people who do die down the line. So I brought this up because for all those people who are worried about coronavirus, walk out right now and get a flu shot for the thing that actually will kill you.
Here's the thing. I don't get the flu shot. It's because I do take responsibility for every death down the line. Now, if it's a child, I'm sorry, but if it's a person over 65, unapologetic.
You do hate the elderly, which is why you studied gerontology.
You want to know your enemy. But I've actually seen a lot of memes since this coronavirus thing has gone out about people like making racist memes against China.
Yeah.
And my thought is, we're the country that brought back measles, yeah. And we think we have the right to talk shit about China?
I do like something that the U.S. did 100 years ago, which I think was really smart. The worst pandemic flu that came by in modern times was the 1918 Spanish flu, which killed an insane amount of people. I think it killed 100 million people.
Well, I still don't talk to Spanish people.
Yes. Oh. You want to know where that flu started?
Oh, you're Portuguese? Okay.
You want to know where that flu started?
I'm on the edge there for a second.
Kansas.
Ah, son of a...
That's fucking marketing for you. It's killing 100 million people. It came out of Topeka. It's the Spanish flu.
I think a Spaniard brought it here.
Can you imagine? It comes out of the heart of the United States. You can't get more fucking America than Kansas. And what do you want to call it? Spanish flu.
It's not fucking Superman. I don't subscribe to that Kansas is the most American spot you could find.
We do have some interesting stuff based on this public health declaration. So there will be a couple of things that could affect everyday life. So starting on February 2nd, U.S. citizens with immediate family who've been to that province will be subject to mandatory 2-week quarantine when they come back. So if you go over to that area, even if you know you weren't next to anybody who had this disease, you're going to be subject to a 2-week quarantine. Anybody who's gone to China in the past 14 days won't be allowed back into the U.S. without that quarantine. And if Americans visited any other part of China, not that specific province, but somewhere outside, they'll be screened at airports and then asked to do a self-quarantine for 14 days.
That is awesome. So you visit China, you get a vacation, you come back home, you get another 2-week vacation.
That's right.
Like, is it a home quarantine or are you just in like a little room somewhere? Like, do you get Netflix? Like,
you just don't have to go to work.
Or are you just forced to listen to podcasts the entire time?
Can't get Netflix. You have this horrible disease. You're going to give it right to the entire cast of Game of Thrones. Ah.
Wrong network.
I mean, I would say that was the one thing missing.
Yeah, that's true.
That would have been a better ending than what happened.
Flu wipes him out.
Fine. That is more realistic that disease killed a medieval civilization.
All right. Article number 4. Unknown to many people who are sensitive to poison oak or poison ivy, the same chemical irritant is present in mangoes, pistachios, and cashews. Damien thought this was false. Dr. Nick thinks this is true. And this one is science, which means for our second week in a row, we have a perfect score from our scientists!
No. Okay. No.
Oh, how embarrassing.
He got them all right. Bill got them all wrong.
Yes. Yes. Let's comment more about how all the scientists beat you every time.
Oh, jeez.
This is really bad, Damien.
You have taken
really
away
bad.
From Dr. Nick's victory. He has a hard-earned victory.
He got that victory. Nobody took it away
Absolutely.
From him. Perfect, flawless victory. He did the move at the end where Scorpion decapitates you.
This
Fatality.
This is great. Okay. Imagine Bobby is like a college professor who hates the C student so much that the student who gets the 0% and the student that gets the 100% are both given the same grade in the class just to shit on the C student.
You know, now, bitterness does not become you.
Yeah, David. This
green is a terrible color on me.
This is sad.
Goddamn.
To the audience, podcast listeners in general, society, I'd like to apologize for my co-host. And
it's not accepted.
His inappropriate actions, some might call temper tantrum, in the face of dual back-to-back flawless victory losses that have I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest with everybody, rendered him to tears in front of us. So I'm
crying, but that's because I got some poison oak in my eye. That's completely different.
Now, Dr. Nick, you have had this experience with the mangoes. I was unaware of this, and this is somebody, I deal with poison oak on like almost a daily basis. We have this a lot out here in Southern California. I was not aware of this.
Also familiar with that.
I knew about poison oak, poison ivy, and sumac, even though we don't have poison ivy here. We have the other two. I knew about those. I did not realize pistachios, mangoes, and cashews had this. So tell us a little bit. You knew this because you've had an experience with the mango?
Yeah, I've had so many experiences with mangoes.
Did your face swell up?
It was a little awkward. There was a rash around the mouth because, yeah, it was a really, really good mango, and I really got all up in there, you know, using my teeth to scrape it off.
Yeah, it's usually it's the skin of the mango.
It's the skin, yeah. So I still eat mangoes. You just don't get all up in those skins.
Now, did you ever get exposed to poison oak or poison ivy in the field?
Also, yes.
It would open its trench coat and the playground.
So
now, do you get it? Do you have to come in physical contact? Some people are so allergic that they can actually get it, like literally, just by coming close to it because some of it gets on them through the air.
I don't think I'm that bad. Okay. This is physical contact. I just remember one time, this is up near LA, I went hiking and there, and I think it's a lot of the dried leaves or something on the ground. They got like between my socks and my skin, and that went very poorly.
Wow. you went hiking in socks? Like you went hiking in like sandals or something?
No. I had to hike in Bhutan. I was wearing shorts, though, so it's just like you'd get little bits of pickup, and it would get in the boot anyway.
Yeah, one of the hard parts is when it gets wintertime here, poison oak loses its leaves. It's just vines, but vines have it. So, like, you can't recognize it as poison oak. Yeah. It looks like a stick coming out of the ground. I have been lucky enough. My entire body is covered when I'm in the field. Every part of me is covered up from the sun, mainly. But it protects
me. And condoms. Just a bunch of condoms.
It protects me from poison oak as well. So I've gone through it. I'm unaware.
Use protection.
Yeah. I don't even know. To this day, I've been through poison oak dozens of times. I don't know if I get it or not because I'm never actually directly exposed to it. But some people get it really badly. I have been in the field with somebody before who ended up getting it on their skin on a time when we both got it, you know, at least on our clothes. They made the mistake of going home and taking a warm shower, which aerosolized it and got it in their lungs. Whoa. They spent 2 weeks in the ICU. Literally.
I haven't heard of it through a shower, but I hear people like, you know, they're clearing their yard. And
yes,
burn it.
Yeah. Burn it. This used to be a trick.
Which you'd think would, you know, that's supposed to destroy things and how, but no.
It carries it in the smoke. This used to be a trick that woodland firefighters would play on the new guys, is they'd say, this is how you get immune to poison oak. You'd pile it up and burn it, and then they would do that, and you get a poison oak infection inside your fucking respiratory system.
Johnson spent 3 weeks in the ICU.
What an asshole.
Fucking rookies.
Got him.
Christ, turning blue. Yeah. How come you guys are laughing, please?
For those of you guys who ever do get exposed to it, Tecnu is really useful. I carry it in my pack at all times, and it's basically it's the counteracting measure. It is a wipe, but you have to put it on almost instantly. Mm. So carry that around with you. Also, if you do get it on yourself, do not go wash with warm soap and water. You are just going to spread it. You need some kind of something like Tecnu that will essentially neutralize it before you try and remove it from your body. Whatever you do, do not take
Let Damien tell you that peeing on it is the solution.
Yeah. Do not take a warm shower. I cannot tell you how many ice cold showers I've taken because I know I have poison oak stuff, at least on my clothes, and I'm not going to take the risk. That warm water, it aerosolizes it. And especially if you have an allergy, it can be literally fatal if you are allergic enough and you get it in your system. So to those of you who ever feel like you have been exposed, remember to have Tecnu with you at all times. Go buy it right now for when you need it. So you'd have to walk into CVS covered in poison oak at some point. And then number two, do not under any circumstances allow hot water to touch it and get it in your lungs.
Got it. No hot showers after rolling in mangoes.
Yes. But indeed, it does have – it's in the skin of mangoes. It's also in the – it's in cashews, which is why you have never seen an unshelled cashew for sale. That's why they are always roasted and shelled in that container because it's in the shell of the cashew and then the roasting takes out whatever little bit is left. We have had some instances every once in a while where some of it wasn't taken out because it wasn't properly roasted or the skins touched too much of the nuts and we've had breakouts of issues of people having basically poison oak infections of their gut because of this. Also happens in pistachios as well. So really interesting. I would be curious to see, you know, the different levels of allergy. Like if Damien and I don't know if I'm allergic. There's a lot of people have no allergy to this.
I mean, as a scientist, I know there's a way to find out.
Yeah, right? No, I work with it. It's really, really high resistance to this allergy in the Native American communities in Southern California. So a lot of my Native American buddies, when we do these surveys, they will be right next to me. And while I'm terrified as we go through poison oak that it's going to get through my clothes, they'll be in shorts and it will not bother them whatsoever. They actually can gather it up like in their hands. They Rude. Work as gardeners and will remove it from people's yards and stuff. And so they have absolutely no effect. So obviously that means there's a gradient, right? Some people will get it like crazy. Some people only get it sometimes. By the way, one of the scariest things, your immunity to poison oak or poison ivy can go away with no notice, which is crazy. Imagine you're one of those people who spend their day gathering poison oak as a gardener, like one day it goes away.
Like sometimes nature is just so messed up.
It's such a bitch.
You stop praying to the poison oak god and you lose their favor mid transport of a bundle of...
But I think because of that gradient, I think Damien and I should do a thing like who can eat the most mango skins? Like see which one of us gets affected the worst by it.
Sounds good. By the way, Dr. Nick, you mentioned rolling around in like mangoes earlier. Like what are you, a Central American billionaire? Just yes, I am a mango magnate.
Rolling in mangoes.
You deserve this all over your body at this point. You're
worth
rich
it.
Yeah, super interesting. I did not know that about those particular pieces of food. I wouldn't even think those would be related species, but they're all the same family, right? Like that's such a weird, diverse group. Pistachios, mangoes, poison oak, poison ivy, sumac.
I'm now kind of pissed off at poison oak and poison ivy and those, because at least the other ones produce delicious things that we can figure out, and those are just mean.
The other reason, actually, they do produce something delicious, just not for us. They were a major source of deer food, which is actually one of the reasons we have such a poison oak problem in Southern California now, is because we killed all the fucking deer, and so that's why it grows out of control during traditional times when you had a normal deer population. While poison oak would be around just as much, you'd never see it because the deer would eat it back constantly.
Is poison oak like hot wings for a deer? Like
yes.
It's spicy? It's
yes.
Like,
mm. Yes. And tomorrow during the Super Bowl, there'll be a bunch of deer just munching down.
At least there would be if we hadn't decimated their populations.
Doritos poison oak condition.
That, and everybody knows deers are Colts fans. I mean.
Yeah. And the ones that are local actually kind of lost interest in the NFL after the Chargers left town.
Absolutely.
So.
All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 402, where you learned all about a new type of solar panel that works at night, how living without smell can ruin your life, why we don't expect 75,000 people in the U.S. to die from coronavirus this year, and how poison oak, poison ivy, mangoes, cashews, and pistachios can all give you a rash. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 403.
Hey, baby, I swear I wasn't cheating on you. I was just fucking that mango.
You've been listening to Science Fuction. Wait, that's not right.